Hallelujah. All right. I always think of George Whitefield preaching to 30,000 people without any megaphone, microphone, and I praise God. I know that he's called us all to preach. Say, I'm a preacher. That was kind of weak. Some of you might not believe that you're a preacher, I think. Say, I'm a preacher. You were called to preach and proclaim the ministry of reconciliation. Yes. Amen? Amen? If you don't know what you're called to do, you start right there. Okay? You start right there. You were reconciled to the Father without your doing, but simply said yes. Amen? What a promise. What a promise that is. Amen? And I want to kind of talk about promises this morning. I want to talk about what and who God called you to be. I want to encourage you to step out. During worship, there was a few things in the songs that we sung that are really radiating within me. And I praise God for the opportunity to be able to declare the word of God to you. I pray that we have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Your heart is the ground in which the word of God is sown. And the preparation of your heart is how the allowance of the word is to be sown. So we can be busy, we can be distracted by other things, and the word is still being sown. Okay? It's not the word's fault that we don't get it. It's not the word's fault that it bounced right off of us, or it's not the word's fault that it came and was sown, but then as soon as we left, the devil grabbed a hold of it because it wasn't sown in good ground. So the preparation of your heart this morning is, I pray that you be pliable to the word of God. Not my words, but the word of God. Let the word of God be fruitful and multiply in you so that he gets his just reward. Amen? It's not about you. We're singing a song, and I see Caitlin dancing up here. And man, she's just, for me, an expression of someone that says, I'm not holding back. Anybody else? You see her? You see... Are you inspired by her? I am. I'm inspired by her dance. I'm inspired by her relentless love for the Lord because it's seen in her dance. How many of you that I could pick on right now and say, come on up and dance? George? George raised his hand. Nobody else raised their hand. Hallelujah. I don't know. I think I'd get a whiplash from Pastor if I let you come up and dance, George. Hallelujah. But we're inspired when someone dares to believe God and doesn't hold back on man's opinion. And man, I want to encourage you to step out. I want to encourage you to step out and be the symphony that God has called you to be your note, your character. Because he created you for this generation, for right now, to bring the answer of the hope that is in you. We sang a song, right? Be a consuming fire. Is it a consuming fire just so that you can be consumed in your seat, consumed in your house, or is it for something? God, I want to be a consuming, consume me completely. For what? Yeah. For what? Is it just to be consumed by him, just to feel great, to have a great feeling in worship, or is it to be motivated to do something? Yeah. Is it to step out? Is it to believe, dare to believe God that he has called you bring the answer. The answer is the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it's at hand on the inside of each one of us. But if you don't believe it, you're not going to step out in it. And I want to encourage you to start stepping out, setting standards in your life, setting goals in your life, setting things up in your life to step out, not be consumed right where you are, but to be consumed so that you can go out in the world and make a difference to bring the answer. People are looking for truth. The problem is the world doesn't have any truth. They're not based on anything truth. They're a fact that's subject to change. Somebody's opinion that in the morning is one way and at the night it's some way different. We don't find security in that, right? Nobody does. But they want to believe something. They want to believe something that's secure and resolute and faithful and consistent. And the only thing I know that to be is the word of God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's journey this morning in the Word of God. And I praise God for the opportunity to be able to proclaim, to preach, to declare the Word of God to you this morning. As our service goes and is almost over, if not over, there's a little bit of, shift, in being a shepherd of a flock. My desire is for them to grow as much as it is for you. But we realize that we're part of a universal church, right? Not just, we're part of a local church to give ourselves to, but to go out into all the world. That's your jobs. That's when you're driving in the car, in the marketplace. That's everywhere you go to proclaim the truth of the Word of God. So I want to talk about access to the Father. That you have access to the Father. Not because you willed it, because he willed it. We have to realize that I didn't choose to be born, and this is something I say constantly. I didn't choose to be born by my mother and father. That choice was made for me. But I do have choices right now that I make every day, every moment of the day. Right? What you're going to give yourself to, what you're going to pay attention to, what you're going to set your eyes on, and ultimately what you're going to worship, because you are a created being that is to worship. Amen? We can look back at this past week and really define, if we're honest with ourselves, what we worship. If we can start writing down, what did I give my time to this, or this, or this, and start writing down 20, 30 things that you gave your time to, because your time is a commodity that is something that's here today and going tomorrow. Once this day is spent, you're not getting it back. The seeds that you've sown, the words that were spoken, you're not going to get back. Whether seeds of life or seeds of death. I am an avid seed studier. I love it. It's the potential is in the seed, right? To become exactly what God created it, right? But some seed isn't sown on good ground. Some seed doesn't reach the true potential because it didn't surround itself in the right environment. What are you surrounding yourself to? What are you worshiping? What are you saturating? What are you feeding yourself on? Amen? Let's go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. I wore glasses this past week for the first time. I've been fighting it for 2 years. Me and my wife at the same time, like within 3 weeks, all of a sudden, she said, man, I got to start holding the book out like this. I'm like, oh, man. I said, yeah, that happened to me. I'm standing on the Word of God, believing for full restoration. Why? Because he is true. He's not a man that he should lie. I'm going to believe him that all his promises are true in my life, so that he would get the glory, that men may see. See, the light of the world, brother was talking about the light of the world, right? That you are the light of the world, to be set on a hill, to be a place of refuge. Now, that's on the mountaintop and in the valley, because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you always. He talked about peace. A mind that is stayed on the Lord is peace. In any situation, any temperature, whether in Alaska, Africa, Indonesia, no matter where, a mind that has stayed on the Lord is life and peace. Amen? So many times we think that the situations all need to line up, and then we can have peace, and man, that just does not happen. How many know that type of peace only lasts for a little while? It comes and it goes. Amen? I'm getting there. Ephesians. Now, I'm one that gets stuck on going back. I find a scripture, and it's speaking to me, but then I start reading, and I'm like, I need to go back a little bit farther. So the verse that we're going to get to that stood out to me is in chapter 2, verse 8, but we're going to start back, and please bear with me, in Ephesians 1. I think I had given you Ephesians 2, but if you can head back a little farther. God forbid that we just take a scripture out and then make it our own, but that we read the entirety of the Word of God so that you know what he's talking to you about. Amen? This is the heart of Paul. He said, blessed be the God and Father, verse 3, in verse 1 in Ephesians, or chapter 1, sorry. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I can stop there. If you think that there's some type of lack, it's in my mind, just can't perceive it. Because he's blessed you with everything. And if he says everything, that means everything that pertains to life and godliness. Let God be true and your opinion not matter. Unless it lines up with the Word of God. You have to start that he is and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You've got to start there. You've got to start there and stay there. This is my one desire, that I would seek you and be consumed completely. Right? We sang it. Let's keep going. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Was your opinion in that at all? But he placed and predestined in you as a seed, has everything to become exactly what he created it to be. You were predestined to the adoption. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Man, the gospel is just too good. It really is. It's almost too good. Amen? In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. If grace isn't underlined in your Bible or not highlighted, go ahead and underline it and highlight it. His provision for you is his grace for you, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Let's pause there for a second. I've been churning on this all week. I came across a book by Napoleon Hill, and it's been out for a while, and it's Think and Grow Rich. But it's not talking about rich as far as money. It's talking about using the principles that God had already lined up in order to get the desired end result. We're astonished, right? Or even amazed at something we don't know. But when it becomes known to us, that awe really kind of leaves because you know. I remember a card trick that I learned from Jonathan Brodowski way back in school. And it was a card trick that I taught my kids. And everybody's like in awe of the card trick. But once you know it, you lose the awe, right? Because you know how to do the trick. And really, it's then just practicing that trick. What are you in awe of God? Now, he is to be awed and reverenced and adored. But the mysteries have been revealed of his will for you. And if his will stays in awe of you, you're not a partaker of the promise of what he has accomplished. The Holy Spirit isn't just, this magical. He's real. It's the power to accomplish what the will of God is. Jesus was the expressed image of the Father. He didn't say or he didn't do anything apart from what the Father had told him. He expressed specifically every word and every deed he did, the will of God. So we can look at Jesus and see the will of the Father. God forbid that we just to say, okay, if it be thy will, and float it up in this magical air. Find out, because it's in the promises. And stand on it. Because if you don't know and you're floating out, well, maybe it's this or maybe it's that, well, you're double-minded in that, and whatever situation is the loudest for you, it will control you. Just as a boat that floats in the ocean is, without a rudder, is just goes any which way it can. But with a certain destination, with a certain navigation pointed, the rudder in it, no matter what storm, it's going to go through it. And we are not to live our lives just haphazardly, just by situation after situation. But you are to be resolute, standing on the rock, because people are looking for Christ, surety, truth. And where do they see it? They see it in you. People come to you to ask of the hope that is in you. What is that hope? What makes you dance without caring what anybody else thinks? Because she knows who she is in Christ. And it's admirable. It's influencing to others. What verse did I stop on? Ephesians. Am I only on 7? I think I went farther than that, no? Guys, you're quiet. Nobody's even helping me out. Is it just 7? Hallelujah. All right, well, let's read 7 again. In him we have redemption through his blood. And I read this. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. This is where I left off. In which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, in him. Now, in him we have obtained an inheritance. Say inheritance. Inheritance. Being predestined, okay? Predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Grace, predestined, the counsel of his will. I want you to wage war with those words. He is not holding anything back from you. And as you seek him, he will reveal by revelation what you need to do in the knowledge of the fullness of him. Now, I've talked about this before. There's knowledge, right? There's understanding, and then there's wisdom. You can have the knowledge of something. You can learn how to drive, but never drive. Has that knowledge helped you? Besides in the passenger seat saying, hey, you shouldn't be doing this or shouldn't be doing that. You can even understand how the car works and everything about it and still not even partake in it. But until you take a step, until you get behind the steering wheel, start the car and get in there, that's when it's practiced and you get to the benefit of driving that car. We are not called to just sit in a seat. God forbid that church is just this. We are the church to proclaim the gospel, the good news. The good news. Everywhere you go. I love mission trips because we put ourselves aside. And it's the same thing here we can really do, but we're too busy caught up in the fast pacedness of the world. The world has nothing to offer you, not lasting. God, that we would see that. Verse 11? 12, okay. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him, say in him. You also, trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, say, I believe.
I believe.
Not believed one time, but continue believing. Okay? Continue learning. Continue walking in faith because the just, say, I'm just. Not because of what I've done, but because what he has done, but the just shall live by faith. Access to the Father, provided by and through his grace, through faith. See, his desire and will is that none should perish, but that all shall come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. How can that be his will, and we know some perish? Do you see the seed? Do you see his word is the same yesterday, today, and forever? It's you can place your trust in it. You can rely. You can lay all of your weight on him because he's established in righteousness. He's established in truth and will provide you. Amen? Provide for you every single time. His provision far exceeds our expectation. Praise God. Verse 14, who is the guarantee, talking about the Holy Spirit of promise, of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory? Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Why? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe it? If you haven't underlined that one, who believe? According to the working of his mighty power. Stopping on verse 20. Beginning of this is that I've already blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, right? You lack absolutely nothing. So what stops us? If he's provided the way, if he's provided the access, the gift of grace and the gift of faith, what stops us? What stops us? We live in a world that isn't really a seed time and harvest world. I give you something, I expect it back like this. And a lot of times, faith needs patience or perseverance to obtain the promise. The promises of God are irrevocable. The promises of God will always come to pass if you don't grow weary and lose heart. Are we sold out for him? Do we really believe him at his word? Are you willing to, as they said in Napoleon Hill, burn the boats behind you? You died and your life is hidden in Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. And now the life that I live here and now, I live through faith in the Son of God. I live through faith. I think the biggest issue is you don't know what you have. I don't believe we really know who we are tapped into. Who has predestined us? Who died for us? Because we're trying to compare it to someone in the world. And it'll never be. He is not a man to be compared. He is not a man that he should lie. He's faithful even when you're found faithless. He's faithful. But who does God see? I see Jesus. Set your gaze on him. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Your heart, again, is the ground on which the seed is deposited. Can I tell you that God gives the increase? That he doesn't need your help to try to make that seed come out. And most of the time when we try to help that seed, it ends up killing the seed. I remember a story, my son, Caleb, when he was coming back, it was just, he said, you know, Dad, if you try to help a butterfly in that transition, that transformation, if you try to help strip off some of the cocoon, it will kill him. And I believe that each one of us have to come to the end of ourselves. But he made the step, right? He died for you. No greater love hath anyone than this, than to lay down their life for their friend, for their neighbor, for their enemy, even for those who despitefully use you and abuse you. Vengeance is mine. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I believe we as Christians really want to step out, but we just don't know what we're stepping on. We see the unrighteousness of the world, right? And we just don't really know how to walk. Because the love of God is not defined by the world's love. That you get to have your own opinion, and whatever you think is right is right. Sorry. It was already established. I don't get to choose what's right and wrong. I just get to abide in it. The lights are on this morning because we're abiding on how this principle of electricity works. It's hooked up, we flip the switch, and we get to benefit from it. The principles of God don't change because you're white or black, because you're tall or short, because you're young or old, because you're male or female. They stay the same. Both naturally and spiritually. You can either tap into them or be killed by them. Amen? What verse am I on? Am I on 20? Okay. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Say, that's me. It's not just this building. This building will fall down one day, but the church will remain. Amen? You are the church. Say, I'm the church. I'm a preacher. I'm a preacher. He put all things under his feet, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And you he made alive. You have vitality on the inside of you. You have life everlasting. If you know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you have eternal life residing on the inside of you, the light of the world, for men to see. How do they see it? You were created for good works. In Matthew, you are the light of the world, that men may see those good works and glorify the Father. Amen? You were created to glorify the Father. You were created to glorify the Father. He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which once you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, say but God. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were in dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You need to wage war with that word. Because the circumstances of the world, the things that you're going through, will not bear witness of this, but will actually test if you really do believe this. That you're sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. If you don't simply believe that by reading that word, you need to wage war with it. You need to set it before you. You need to meditate on it. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, he says, renew your mind. How? By the word of God, so that you may be transformed by that renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the very will of God is. Yes, you can prove the word of God by standing on it, by being resolute in it, by not backing down. How far will you go when somebody is trying to kill your child right in front of you? How far will you go? Only so far? Or with your life? What are the convictions that you're willing to die for? You need to settle it. You need to settle it. Because the time is coming that it's going to be pressurized even more than it is now. And if you don't know what you believe, you will be faltered back and forth, and you will receive nothing from the Lord. Not because he doesn't want to, not because he hasn't provided it for you, because you simply don't believe. I had this thought a couple weeks ago, and I think it was in the worship that morning, and it came from watching Cars 3. Never seen it before. But Lightning McQueen said, I just didn't think I couldn't do it. And man, I was like, that's just such a surety. Do you believe to the point where you don't even have a second thought of it? That it's part of who you are? Like, I don't have a second thought that my last name Saffron came from my parents. I never thought second about it. What are the things that you don't think again on? Because that's really what you believe. It's getting it to the point where it just becomes the default mechanism in you. Not to run and hide at your house, not to run and hide under someone else, but to stand still, proclaiming the truth of the Word of God and watch the salvation of God. Amen? All right, we got to get to the verse that I really want to get to. Hallelujah. What verse am I on? 6. Hallelujah. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's predestination for you. That you are his workmanship. Access to the Father. Let's go over to Romans 5. He has provided through the blood and body of Jesus Christ all the promises for you. Now, you might not know them, but that doesn't change his provision for you. That's right. Amen? Romans 5, starting right in verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Rejoice. We have access through faith. Now, I've defined faith, and he clearly says it. Faith is a substance, right? Of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. But I think we've said it so much that we really don't understand. What does that mean to me? Yeah, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance. It is tangible. It's the evidence. It's the title deed. It is your assurance as your sons and daughters' birth certificate, as you watching them be born. It is the title of your car. It is the title of your house, the deed to your house. It is the proof in which he said is true. How many of you will say, okay, if somebody comes in and says, hey, you know what? Your car is my car. How far will you go? Ultimately, there's a choice, right? But the devil is stealing and killing and destroying what you're ignorant of you having.
That's right.
Maybe you even know about it, but you really haven't started walking in it. Christianity isn't something that we dabble in. It won't work for you. The justified or the just shall live by faith. Spiritual faith, and there's physical faith, right? Physical faith, nobody really thought, hey, this chair won't hold me today. This floor won't hold me today, right? That's natural faith. You trusted in something natural to sustain. It's the same way? It's the same principles? The knowledge of the mysteries have been revealed in and through Jesus Christ. Seek his face. We sang it. We sang it to seek his face, right? To seek him above everything else. I want us to really understand that his provision of grace, his provision of faith is in you to be exactly who God created you to be and function as an individual character, not trying to be somebody else, but in a symphony, in a harmony, an orchestra, a body of Christ. We are not to just sit back and just be consumed by a fire and sit in a chair, but to go out into all the world and preach and to proclaim deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind.
That's right.
That's who you are created to be. And I pray that we are not wishy-washy in our faith, that we are not subject to the circumstances and the situations that you're going through. Because there are people just like you living in Alaska, in the cold. Yep. Oh, Pastor, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you set your mind on it. You can do it.
Amen.
Your mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. A mind set on the flesh is death. You want to have peace in your life? It's not when everything looks great. It's not when there's $1 million in your bank. It's not when all your family is just around in it. Man, it gets real personal. God's called you, apart from your children, apart from your spouse, to be who he called you to be. And man, it makes you just realize how much a blessing it is that you have everyone around you and you appreciate everyone around you for how long you have them with you. Man. Can I pray? I know somebody else is coming up to close. I just want to pray. Why don't we stand up? My prayer is that you know, one, that you are called, and how to access the Father is through the Son, right? Empowered by the Holy Spirit. You know, when Jesus called the disciples, there was an immediate responsive action. I don't know all of you, but I would desire that you take some steps forward. Immediate responsive action on the word that you've heard today, that God would bring to pass exactly what he deposited or predestined in you. And you would step out, again, as I used Caitlin as an example, of freely worshiping God. Can I tell you, man, that there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. When you don't care the opinion of people and you just let go and let God be God in your life, whew. Father, I thank you for every individual in here, God. I thank you for the gifts of God that they are. I thank you, God, for this church body preaching and proclaiming the word resolute, Father, consistently, faithfully, God. I thank you for every man, woman, and child in this household, God, that they will see you at your word. They will trust in you. They will rely on you. Father, they will meditate on your word, inclining their ear unto your sayings, God, not letting it depart from their eyes, keeping it in the midst of their heart, because it's life to those that find it and health and healing to all their flesh. God, I pray, Lord, that they would see individuals within their job a little bit differently. They would see people on Facebook a little bit differently. They would see people, Father, that they come up against and might not look the same way, might not even be the audience that they're expecting to proclaim to. But God, that they would proclaim, they would see the value that you sent your son for in that individual life and value that human being, that they would pray for them, that they would start declaring hope and life over them in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for seeing differently today. God, may we not have an expectation just to receive today, but God, in receiving, you say it's better to give than to receive. God, I pray, Lord, that they give their life as a living sacrifice every moment of the day, every thought, bringing it captive into the obedience of Christ so that you would get your just reward in and through each individual here and the corporate body as a whole. Father, I thank you for life-changing decisions in the name of Jesus. Amen.